City Current. Produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or tune in to Radio Access 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome and thanks for joining us on this edition of City Current. It's a Mandan edition of City Current, and as you can see, Mr. Jim Neubauer is here from the City of Mandan.
Good morning, Mary. How are you?
Very good. And we continue to meet via Zoom for now.
Yep.
For the time being, anyway.
And looking out my window, I don't see 70 mile an hour winds this morning. So, or I guess it's this afternoon when we're recording this. So it's a good day.
Yeah. Be thankful for that. I think hopefully we're done with these high winds for a while. Yep. As always, we're here to talk about the actions of the City Commission last night at their meeting in Mandan.
Did you say, speaking of wind, we're talking about City Commission action last night?
Thank you very much. Now, that came from you.
Yeah, be careful now.
That's right. So we want to talk a little bit about what transpired last night during the meeting. And one of the first items that were up were bids. And this is a project that keeps, shall we say, haunting you, the raw water intake project. And it's a huge project. I mean, it all has to do with water supply for the city of Mandan and also for the plant up there for the
Marathon Refinery.
Refinery. Sorry about that.
There we go. And
what's happened is that the estimates have come in considerably higher than originally expected from your engineering. And so it's come back and forth a few times to the commission, and the last time they directed staff to parcel it out, take it apart a little bit and make it a little more palatable to some of the vendors. And then now bids have been received again, and they're still a little bit higher than you like.
Well, I wish it were a little bit higher than we would like. Again, this is a project that is our raw water intake. For people's point of reference, if you know where the Heskett station is north of Mandan, our intake is just south of that station. And what has occurred over the years as the river channel has moved from the west bank where intake is over the last 50, 60 years, it's moved over to the east bank, and therefore sandbars are created in front of our intake, which means getting water, fresh drinking water into our plant has become problematic. Our water treatment plant and this intake serve not only the city of Mandan, its residents, Missouri West Water Systems in the rural Morton County, and also the Marathon Refinery. So it's a integral cog to infrastructure for the town and also for industry in the area.
So what's the plan now, Jim? Where does it go from this point?
Well, right now we open bids on what we call phase 1A, which is kind of the river work in November. Bids were very high. We rejected, we only had one bidder, so we rejected that bid. Spent a few months repackaging that proposal. We bid that out. Bids were received later in May. Those bids were still higher, but at least it was competitive than the engineer's estimate. In the first part of June, we did open two bids, which would be phase 2, phase 1B, which involves constructing the building to house all the pumps and the things that we need on the intake, and also phase 2, which is installing the pipeline from that intake north to our water treatment facility. And again, those bids came in much higher than anticipated. Also, where we're at right now, we did have a request into the State Water Commission because they have been a very good funding partner on this project so far. We've asked for a 60% of it be paid for through a grant from the Water Commission. So we're about $12.5 million that we have approved right now from the Water Commission for this project. We're going to need about $9.5 million more, which would cover that 60% up to the total project cost. And Water Commission, they get their money from the Resources Trust Fund, which gets its money from oil activity. And when oil activity and oil deposits go way down, the money going into that Resources Trust Fund goes way down, and there's already multi-millions of dollars of commitments out of that fund for projects. So at the last Water Commission meeting, they tabled all of the cost increase in cost share requests that were made until they will meet again on July 16th and decide on, you know, what they're going to do with these other requests that have come in, which one of them is ours. And commission will probably see this back on July 21st and make a decision. We did anticipate some things this spring due to COVID and the drop in oil prices that we might have to hold bids for a while longer. I think we can hold the bids that we received until the first part of August. So we're okay on that end. And again, prices of the bids, we've got actual bids. We're ready to move on this project. Therefore, we're hoping the Water Commission will look favorably upon this and grant another $9.5 million. So it's significant dollars. Our local share, the funding for this is 60% would be State Water Commission, hopefully, and the remaining 40% is split equally between Marathon Petroleum and the City of Mandan. So even with that $9.5 million, if we would get that, our local share goes up from about $4 million to $7 million. And the same thing for the refinery, their share goes from $4 to $7 million also. So again, very significant dollar-wise, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you're talking some big money there, no doubt.
Yep.
So
yep.
If everything went as you hope, could work potentially start then yet this fall before the freeze up?
Yep, we would start, like I said, if the commission would approve the award of bids on July 21st, we would get in the process of signing contracts. The contractors then need to order all of the equipment and everything else and get ready to go. That we could see some activity in the fall of 2020. Or again, this project could be, put on hold for a year. We are really concerned about that because normally if you rebid a project, your prices don't get any better. So cost isn't going to go down, but the work still needs to be done. And okay. In this case, we've got the added dimension of the Heskett Power Plant puts out about 50 million gallons of water a day, which it takes it on one end of the plant, kicks it out on the south end of the plant. That water runs right by the front of our intake. If we lose, and the Heskett station is set to convert from coal to natural gas. So they won't close the plant, but they're going to go to natural gas in a couple of years. Our intake project will take a couple of years to build. If we put this off, we may be losing a year of those 50 million gallons of water running in front of our plant, keeping the channel on our side open a little bit. And again, it's a timing of things. So we hope to get moving this fall.
Yeah.
That's a long story for a big project, but it's a lot of moving parts to it.
Absolutely. And so we will be talking about it again because it'll come back to the commissioners as soon as there's a plan in place, no doubt.
Correct, yep.
On your consent agenda last night, there was nothing pulled for discussion by the commissioners, and it was all passed. But there were a couple, two items we wanted to just pull out for, just to make note of. One of them was the approving the voting results from the June 9th election. So that's just a kind of a housekeeping thing. The final results have to come in, and everything looked like it was just fine, and the commission said, go ahead, this is official.
The canvassing board for Martin County, I think, met on Monday, and then we got the results on Tuesday, and then, like so you said, our city commission needs to approve those votes, and so they did last night, and we'll move on from there.
Sounds good. And the other item we wanted to talk about was something that we talked about the last time that we did City Current for Mandan, and Dodd-Frank jumped into our program that day and talked about what was going on over the 4th of July. Obviously, Art in the Park just can't happen the way it normally happens, so that they were still in the planning phases of what is the alternative to Art in the Park this year, because people do definitely look forward to that event. And they've come up with something that's kind of a hybrid of a flea market, a food market, and crafts, and it's going to be a little smaller in scale, but the Mandan Market is going to happen on July 3rd and 4th.
Yep, right? July 3rd and 4th. And this is, we're at a time where, the parade committee and the Mandan Progress Organization, there just wasn't a way for the parade to go on without social distancing. as you know, there are sometimes 20, 30,000 people downtown Mandan, and there's not a lot of wiggle room going on for the fans. We wanted to do everything we could with the other events from Art in the Park. That committee just decided they couldn't, again, couldn't socially distance and follow the rules, but they're going to try something different at the MPO with the Mandan Market. So that'll happen July 3rd and 4th. And please stay tuned and, you know, watch the Mandan Progress Organization's website, and they'll have more details on that.
Yeah, and I think that, well, Josh threw up a map of the example of their layout that they're considering. There'll be a lot of food trucks again, and then vendors. People can register for a space, but you have to register in advance. So again, Mandan Progress Organization, go to their website and find that information, get your request in, because, and there is a cost for a booth space.
But there's a cost, yes.
Kind of fun this year. I think it'd be kind of interesting to see this kind of a flea market set up over there. That'll be kind of interesting. And the other note I had, it was just want to mention, it'll be open on 3rd and 4th, which is a Friday and a Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Right. So, and again, you know, kudos to the MPO and looking for other ways to find events to go on, because we know those are all meaningful for the folks downtown from their businesses that are there all year long, to also the vendors that are looking for an avenue for something. And also there's a lot of people that come in from out of town for 4th of July activities and family gatherings, reunions, and giving something to do.
And it should also be mentioned that there were some special permits also granted to some private businesses last night during this time as well, for a couple of the bars downtown. So there's going to be some other events. And most importantly, I think it's important to mention again that the rodeo is going on and the tickets are available. And fireworks, most importantly, yes, the fireworks display will happen.
Display will happen on July 4th. And again, the rodeo will go on. They'll do everything they can to follow the social distancing guidelines as set out by the state of North Dakota. And like I said, we're looking forward to that. And like I said, kudos to those committees that are working very hard on that to make these events happen.
Yeah.
So.
Moving on then, old business last night that came back to the commission was a offer on a property that came back to the a city-owned property called the Hartview, over in the Hartview addition, four specific lots that one buyer is looking at, and there's some negotiation going back and forth on that at this time.
Yep, there's, and again, this relates to, I don't know if it was close to a year ago when we did an inventory of lots that the city of Mandan has gotten back over time, and to see if there's any renewed interest in buying some of them. Here's a, you know, there are four lots up there, or three lots up there that, if you're familiar with the Hartview addition, it's on the way westerly side of town. These lots overlook the Hart River Valley. It's just a matter of there's some challenges in being able to put a house or put a building on that those lots, and obviously we have someone who thinks they can do it and put in an offer, and we brought that to the commission, and I think there's a counter offer made and a counter offer made back, and commission, you know, on a split vote decided to not accept the counter offer from this individual, feeling that the lots are worth more than that offer was. So it will probably come back.
Okay. We'll talk about it again. And as you mentioned, and we have a map up of that property right now too. And there's some steep topography in there. It makes it a bit challenging. So it's not your normal situation. So again, we'll be talking about it again, I'm sure. Also under in this area of property and purchases from these city lots, was the Rough Rider Estates. Now this landed under new business because it's the first time the commission has seen these particular lots come in. And I believe there were four lots that, as you mentioned, have come back to the city for a variety of reasons. Right. And now offers are being made by mostly adjacent property owners.
Yeah, in the Rough Rider addition, which was built, I think, in the early 70s, not sure why some of these lots were platted the way they were. It's not the way we would do them today, but, you know, different times. And maybe there was a development that was planned on going behind Rough Riders where these lots would have been available then for sale. But we've had them on the city. They've come back to the city over time. We had many lots up there. I think at the last meeting, we talked about negotiating a sale for one of those lots. At that point in time, we did send out letters to, it's kind of like your front yard, backyard. Front yard, do you have the house on? Backyard, do you just have yard? And those lots were split. So we sent letters to those with in the front yard. We have listed the properties with the realtor, said, you know, we, if you're interested in buying what you may be using as your backyard now, here's, go through the realtor, make an offer. We set minimum prices. And now we've kind of going back and forth with some of the properties where, you know, in the perfect world, if you own the front yard, you'll probably want to own the backyard too. And, but we do have some cases where some adjoining property owners have made an offer on a property next to them.
Well, I think the commissioners voiced that same sentiment that they were more supportive of the front yard, backyard kind of concept. But it gets a bit tricky when you, when you're putting in bids on property. So kind of those, a couple of those properties went back to the drawing board, but there were a couple that went through last night as well.
Yep, a couple went back to the drawing board, and those are ones where we had competing offers on the same piece of property, one by a side yard owner and one by a front yard owner. And the board, you know, wants to give an opportunity to that front yard owner to match the side yard owner's offer. And like I said, it's tricky because state law says, you know, we see just can't go out and privately negotiate sales for things. We do have a realtor involved, and they can sometimes do some of that. But again, the commission is kind of bound by state law and accepting at times the highest offer. Sure. And that's what we're trying to do, is make sure that that front yard owner has an opportunity to, you know, either up their offer, or at least they, the commission says, we're giving you the opportunity to go work things out.
Well, so
please see what you can do.
Yeah, so these particular properties will come back probably to the commission again. And also was mentioned last night that there's some remaining available properties that are still being bid on. So this isn't the end of this process as well. So
nope, not the end. So we'll probably see some back again. And like I said, when we sent out letters a couple of weeks ago to the folks who had owned the front yard, we got very good interest, and like I said, we hope to get some of those back in private hands.
Another project that's back being discussed once again is this Midtown East. It's a big project, a lot of different pieces to it. There were roads, there was water mains, sewer in some areas, and the bids came in a bit high there as well. So what was on the agenda last night, as I understand, was a discussion about how to whittle off some costs in the Third Street, the widening of Third Street, and what that means with the retaining wall that was there. Yeah. Some options were presented last night by your city engineer.
Right. When we got bids back, like I said, they were a little bit higher than we had anticipated, and we're trying to find ways to bring those costs down, as we always do. In this case, you know, you can, Third Street is a very narrow street. It's kind of wide in some areas, and then narrows next down, and then it gets wide again. And obviously our goal would be to have one consistent width of street moving through this area, because it has become problematic in the wintertime when you're trying to move snow and you're maybe down to one lane of traffic in this area. So last night's discussion was, you know, because we have a steep hill on one side, how do we, you know, we're going to have to widen the road. We cut back part of that hill, which means we need a retaining wall to hold back Mother Nature, and how best to do that.
Yeah. So what was decided last night, the option that was chosen was to do some grading work rather than the wall. Is that the way I understand?
There will still be some product. It's called, I think, Ready Rock. So that is it's a different alternative than was in the bid package. So versus a retaining wall. And so that saves us some money. And we will also do some of the tree grubbing, which Public Works is up there yesterday and the day before, and we'll be continuing to do that and do some of the earthwork ourselves with our Public Works crew versus hiring a contractor to do it. So, like I said, I think we'll save some money that way. And like I said, just trying to find ways that will reduce the cost to the district.
So hopefully this is a done deal on this project, and We won't need to talk about it again.
Yeah, we'll talk about it again when the project is done and when there are updates that come about. But, you know, the work has started in this area. So we're, you know, obviously when you do a new street, it's more than just a street. You're checking all your underground utilities and replacing what you need to do then.
Sounds good. Okay. Under resolutions and ordinances, one that was finalized last night, final consideration and approved last night, was this bidding ordinance was finalized. And basically, we talked about it the last time. It allows the city to purchase, take those minimum purchases from $25,000 up to $75,000. Will not require a bidding process to go through.
Right. We will. You know, there's some, you know, when you're buying asphalt and things, you're spending more than $25,000 on asphalt, and rather going through a public bid or a vehicle is a better example. You know, most of the vehicles we buy for public works are about $25,000. We can buy off the state bid those vehicles without doing a public bid process. But by upping that dollar amount, that requires then our folks to go around and obtain 3 written quotes. And obviously we'll take the lowest quote, but it gives us a little more flexibility, lets us operate a little more efficiently so that, you know, it costs money to publicize and write bid specs and things like that. And like I said, we're not looking to shortcut the process in any way. It's a matter of, but that dollar amount needed to be adjusted.
Well, and we talked about that the last time. This is basically following suit from the state legislature making those changes.
Yep.
Bismarck's already made that change as well. And it's been a number of years since this dollar amount was adjusted. So it makes sense to operate a little more efficiently and move a little more quickly on some of these purchases.
Yep, I think in the 2000s, we were probably at 15,000. Then we moved up to 25,000. Now we'll go up to 75,000 because we haven't adjusted for many years. And again, it's a matter of we can operate a little more efficiently and move a little quicker than we could before.
One of the items in this area of resolutions and ordinances that took up probably the bulk of the discussion in this area was a proposed amendment to the electric handicapped accessible doors for the city. That was a fairly long discussion. It was presented by Ellen Huber, your development director, and was motivated from conversations and discussion within the Mandan Growth Fund about minimum number of dollars. If you get dollars, certain amount of dollars from the city, you're required to put in the door. But sometimes that doesn't make a whole lot of sense on the level of commitment, cost of the door,
right,
as opposed to the amount of money you get. So,
yep, there was an initiated measure in 2008 that basically said, you know, if any building that is open to the public has received any public funds in any form whatsoever, whether it be a property tax break or anything like that, had to have a automatic door installed or an automatic door installed. What we've found out in many of our projects is that an automatic door is sometimes feasible and sometimes they're expensive. It's, you know, in the range of, we've seen them anywhere between $2,000 and $2,500, maybe $5,000. So that really reduces the amount of benefit that goes to that applicant. And therefore, you know, what the Growth Fund asked our staff to do is, what other programs can we do in this time of COVID and trying to help your small businesses, when, you know, maybe they'll apply for a $5,000 grant, but in turn, $2,500 of that is eaten up by the installation of an electronic door. And so, you know, this is one of those things that was talked about, and we're not trying to eliminate the need for electronic doors in any way, shape, or form. It's just a matter of, it becomes, you know, is it really helpful to a business that may be applying for a $5,000 grant if they're spending $2,500 on the door? You know, we can debate that back and forth. But again, the Growth Fund asked us to put a proposal together. There's a lot of discussion on the timing of this ordinance because, our Growth Fund will meet next Monday to talk about, you know, a draft of a proposal, an idea that we had kind of fleshed out. And like I said, we wanted to get it in front of the commission because if this idea didn't have any legs, and we could go back to the Growth Fund and say, you know, this is dead in the water. It's not going to go anywhere, so we're not going to spend more time on it. But again, so that we can try and do our best to get funds out in the market as soon as possible, If this ordinance gets, it'll have a second reading July 7th. There will be a program that we will, get the final recommendation from the growth fund will come on July 7th also, if there is one coming. And then we'll be able to have that program in place right away rather than waiting another 2 weeks until probably July 21st, which, in this time that we're in, sometimes that 2 weeks is a long period of time for folks to wait.
Yeah. Well, as you said, it's going to come back in a little more detailed form.
Right.
And I think the point that you made too needs to be emphasized, and that's the commission, and Ellen said it too, is that the intention is not to remove this requirement. It's just how to make it a little more palatable for those groups that are getting a small amount of assistance without having to use half of it or more on the door requirement. So I think that's an important point to make. In fact, I thought it was funny when the mayor even said, I didn't like it when we went through this in 2008.
Yeah.
Kind of a pain in the rear, but it really has turned into a very successful program, and quite honestly, you basically see them everywhere, and Mandan has their fair share, so it's all good.
From that standpoint, yes, and looking for some other things that can be done with this program, and we look at it, well, it's initiated measure, that's what the public voted on, and so there have been doors installed, and you might say, well, you've got a kind of like a split level home. You walk in, there's a foyer, and you walk upstairs or downstairs, and gee, what good is that doing to a handicapped individual? Well, it's not only the handicapped folks are potentially using that. If you have an armful of things, or I think back in 2008, I think the explanation was, well, if you have your child with you and you're carrying a bag of groceries and you're trying to get in or out, or bag of whatever, certainly that automatic door is helpful, and we certainly agree with that. It's just a matter of how do we try and get some help in the hands of some of our smaller businesses.
Well, and I think these doors are going to become very mainstream, especially in this pandemic era, as people and businesses are looking about how to accommodate with less touching of hands. You can open these doors with the elbow or whatever. I think that they're going to be more and more prevalent. So, okay.
Absolutely.
All right. We're getting an indication that we need to move forward. So just wanted to mention there was another introduction of an ordinance amendment last night, and had to do with trees and shrubs in front of stop signs or traffic lights. And that passed its initial introduction. So it'll be next meeting will be a final consideration. And that is giving the city the ability then, if they see this is in a particular area, again, blocking and obstructing stop signs, traffic signals, gives the city the ability to notify the property owner. And if they do not comply and remove that, the city has the ability to move in and remove them and then assess it back to the property owner.
That's correct. And like I said, we call it those public hazards.
Yeah.
And if, like I said, right now we have to give it, we'll be made aware of where we discover a public hazard, we in turn send the property owner a 20-day notice. They've got 20 days to mitigate that. If that's done, then we can go in. Right now, this would give us the power to go in and mitigate that right away so that, like I said, if there is a tree covering a stop sign or a traffic signal, we can take care of that right away.
So other than that, the last thing on the agenda last night was saying goodbye to Commissioner Scott Davis.
Yep.
He has served the past 4 years on the city commission, and he had some very nice words and nice messages to the community about service and the community and what it means to live in Mandan. And it was really, really nice comments that he made.
Yeah, I think Commissioner Davis has been with us for 4 years, and a lot of difficult times for him when he was first elected. Obviously, we're going through protests and things like that. And, now here we are again, where the state of the world is a little different. But Commissioner Davis obviously had some heartfelt words. I know this was a very difficult decision for him, but, he's very family orientated. And this was a family decision that he had with his family and decided this was the best thing for them right now. And like I said, we wish Commissioner Davis well. We've all have enjoyed his comments. He's thoughtful. And like I said, he has the best interest of the community in heart. And that's all we can ask of commissioners and our staff is that, you know, he'll be missed.
Yes, he will. His message seems to focus a lot on respect and to respect each other. And we can do a lot more and get along a lot better if we just have more respect. And he had other words as well that were great. So
yeah, and I think, you know, that's, you know, commissioners come and go, and you know, but the one thing is they don't always agree with each other, but they all walk away. And I think it's what you can disagree, but don't be disagreeable. And along with that is that you respect each other's opinions. You may lose. Like I said, we had a 3-2 vote last night. Those don't happen very often, but when they do, okay, decision's made, let's move on. And like you said, that's one of the great things about the commission right now is they do have the respect of each other. And from a staff standpoint, we don't always agree with our commissioners either, but we certainly respect where they're coming from, and they ask us for our opinion, and we can tell them our opinion. And with that, like you said, it comes that respect.
Well, Jim, I think that's when the danger for communities exists. If everybody at that table is in 100% agreement all the time, I don't think that's good. You know, you have to have that discussion and that diversity of and different perspectives at the table, or it doesn't work very well. So
nope, I agree with you 100% on that. So, and like I said, it's always interesting.
Yeah. So just real quick, you opened up City Hall. Can you talk real quick about what that means?
And very briefly, our south door has been, our south and our east doors have been locked since March. We have opened up the south door right now so that, the public can come into City Hall. We ask if you are sick or not feeling well, please don't. You should be home taking care of yourself anyway. And again, use social distancing. We've got signs up in here. We've got wipes, and our staff is cleaning things on a continual basis. And be respectful of people's space. You know, we always talk about that bubble around our personal space. I think that bubble has gotten to be now 6 feet. Respect each other's space. But again, we are open. You can come in and have a chat with us and take care of your business. But again, we also have offered a lot of online methods in which to obtain building permits, pay your utility bill, and things like that. We encourage folks to take advantage of those. And like I said, we are open.
Cityofmandan.com. Cityofmandan.com, right?
Yep. There we go.
Just check it out. All right. Well, thanks, Jim. We'll probably
thanks,
see
Mary.
In a few weeks. I think we have a week break in there, so it might be a 3-week break this time. So
right, and go out and celebrate safely over the 4th of July.
Sounds good. Thanks.
All right.
So much.
Thanks, Mary.
Take care. And thank you for joining us on this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit cityofmandan.com or call 701-667-3215. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you would like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on Radio Access 102.5 FM. It's also available as a podcast on radioaccess.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.